Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up before the weekend with all the news you should know about. Today, the Tunkhannock community is remembering a family who died in a car crash last weekend. And La Festa Italiana celebrates its 50th anniversary this weekend in downtown Scranton. It's Friday, September 4th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start with that update from Tunkhannock. People from around Tunkhannock have been grieving for the Thatcher family, who were killed in a car crash last weekend. Ahead of their viewing and funeral service, WVIA's Roger Dupuy has more about Peter Thatcher, who worked as a Wyoming County correctional officer.
Wyoming County District Attorney Joe Peters says it's important to remember the Thatcher family for the impact they left on their community.
Sergeant Thatcher and his wife and his two children, they are not defined by what happened to them, but by who they are.
Peter and Sandra and their young children, Noah and Layla, died last Saturday when their car crashed in Susquehanna County. Peter was a sergeant at the Wyoming County Correctional Facility. Sandra worked at McDonald's and was known for her passionate support of the Ronald McDonald House program. Their children were both students at Tunkhannock Area School District, and they all were devoted members of Tunkhannock Assembly of God Church. D.A. Peters said he never worked with Peter Thatcher directly, but knew him by reputation.
It's rare to say this in public service. I had not only previous to the incident, how sad it was, but since then, not heard a bad word. And just every story that you hear directly or secondhand, it was further insight into the quality of the individual that not only he, but his wife and two children were.
The district attorney recalled speaking to a high-ranking county employee who shared a personal anecdote about Peter Thatcher.
He said, I was having a bad day, and it was Sergeant Thatcher who approached me, recognizing that in me, asked me if I was okay, and I opened up to him, and he helped me find a way through it.
Funeral services for the Thatcher family are set for 10 a.m. Saturday at Tunkhannock Assembly of God Church. Roger Dupuy, WVIA News.
Thanks, Roger, for that update. Find more of this story and more of Roger's reporting at WVIA.org. Now we have an update on a story from central Pennsylvania. The alleged ringleader of a cocaine trafficking operation at two Penn State fraternities is out of jail after a judge reversed a decision denying him bail. That decision was part of an hours-long preliminary hearing on Wednesday. For WVIA, Sydney Roach reports from the Center County Courthouse in Bellefonte.
A Center County judge granted Agostino Abatiello a $250,000 secured bail with certain conditions. Abatiello will have to live with his parents, avoid contact with any witnesses, avoid consuming drugs or alcohol, and have his attorney keep his passport. Previously, a different judge denied Abatiello bail, calling him a flight risk and danger to the community. Abatiello's attorney, Philip Masorti, argued his client has no other criminal background and willingly drove from Florida to Pennsylvania for his arraignment. Following Wednesday's decision, Masorti told reporters Abatiello's family paid his bail bond and got him released.
It's a good day for us. Thank you very much.
Also during Wednesday's preliminary hearing, the judge heard arguments about why charges should be dropped for Paul Robinson. He's a Pittsburgh attorney and the father of Thomas Robinson, the other alleged ringleader. State prosecutors accused Paul Robinson of trying to hinder the investigation by hiding a safe containing cocaine and cash. Michael DeRiso, one of his attorneys, argued his client didn't know what was in the safe and was just trying to retrieve his son's property after his arrest in 2024.
To suggest Paul Robinson Sr. had any clue of what was going on is reckless. He had no idea.
DeRiso says he plans to file a motion to reconsider and dismiss Robinson's charges. For now, both of the Robinsons and Abatiello's formal arraignments are scheduled for September 30th. That's when they're expected to enter pleas of guilty or not guilty. In Bellefonte, I'm Sunny Roach.
Thanks, Sydney. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to wvia.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. So, we heard about Railfest yesterday, but there's another Labor Day weekend tradition in Scranton. La Festa Italiana celebrates its 50th anniversary this weekend, bringing people together in downtown Scranton for food, music, and Italian culture. WVIA's Sydney Alabaugh has more.
Thousands of people will fill Courthouse Square in Scranton this weekend for La Festa Italiana, featuring nearly 70 vendors, nonstop entertainment, and traditional Italian experiences.
And we're just happy to be able to promote the heritage, but also promote Scranton.
That was Chris DiMatteo, longtime president of La Festa Italiana. La Festa's 50th anniversary milestone comes as the nation celebrates its 250th anniversary. This is not a coincidence. The festival started during the United States Bicentennial.
In 1976, ethnic organizations were encouraged, to celebrate their heritage after coming to this country.
That celebration of heritage has remained throughout the years, as La Festa has grown to welcome upward of 100,000 attendees each year. The annual festival features Italian performances, games, food and drink, and a mass in Italian. DiMatteo says it's uncommon to find U.S. churches that still hold services in the Italian language, and people come in from other states for the mass.
I think we're really fortunate that we've maintained the tradition.
The 50th La Festa will be a celebratory experience, with colorful decorations and new heritage and historical exhibits highlighting Italian-American accomplishments and local legends. Other highlights include an Italian car show and cannoli eating contest. A small group of volunteers spends months organizing the festival for the Labor Day weekend each year. DiMatteo says it's worth the effort during the holiday.
We spend it with about 100,000 family and friends. So it's kind of a labor of love, but we enjoy doing it.
La Festa Italiana runs Friday through Monday. I'm Sydney Alabaugh, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sydney, for that story. Read more about La Festa Italiana's history and this weekend's festivities at WVIA.org. All right, one last thing for today. It's time for Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella.
Berwick's McBride Memorial Library has seen a lot of changes over the years. Amanda Warner, Adult and Administrative Services Librarian, says there's always room for new chapters to foster new possibilities.
The McBride Memorial Library began serving both Columbia and Luzerne counties in the 19th century. In 1885, they were given money to the YMCA to create a building, and that was on the corner of 2nd and Market Street, to house space for the public library. When we were forming the Berwick Public Library Association, the first meeting took place in January of 1916.
It's interesting how libraries have changed over the years. We looked at them as repositories for books.
That has changed in a number of ways. One of the main challenges of libraries is to remain sustainable, relevant, and to do so in a world that is changing rapidly. I have seen our technology shift. There's also changes in licensing and copyright. So once those books being digital, then you had to talk about copyright from a different angle. The laws change, the technology changes, and then academically, we're always growing and learning, so everything needs to then be considered again, and that comes in layers all throughout different aspects of library services.
How do you think people look at libraries today?
People have come to the library for a variety of things. Story time, so you were developing those early literacy skills. Maybe you went to the library for a school field trip where you learned the Dewey Decimal System. Now you're in middle school and high school and you have research assignments. Well, we have interlibrary loan services. We also have online resources And then you return back to the library for socialization, to combat isolation. We've evolved in a lot of different ways.
Now you are the community hub of Berwick. What about those of us who are finished with school, maybe people who just want to mingle with other people at the library?
I'm glad that you mentioned how the library is a meeting space, and it's a neutral public space where a diverse group of people can meet. We're sharing ideas that maybe are not the same viewpoints we walked into the room with, and we're learning from one another. McBride Memorial Library has a variety of programs, so sometimes our programs are designed where you can float between stations.
What are some of the differences among the stations?
One part of the library might have things going on for early literacy, birth to five, that age range. One part of the library might have something else going on for elementary school age children, something going on for teens. We have our self-sustainable series that's taking place, fostering confidence, life skills. We also have the Be Informed Coffee Chat. Come out and socialize, have a cup of coffee, sit and have a snack, and then we'll also bring in a community partner who will be there to discuss what resources their organization offers.
Which programs do you feel are the most successful, the most popular?
The Youth Art Month has been an extreme success. It's administered by the Council for Art Education. So what the library does is we provide the space for the schools in the area to exhibit student artwork. I heard one student walk through the library and go, "Wow, it's just like an art gallery. There's artwork everywhere to see." One parent in particular, the first year when we rolled it out, specifically said, "Wow, you made them artists. Like, they're really artists." Yep. There's always a moment of happiness every day. Even when you have a challenging day, there's still something there that you can smile about. It's what we do here at McBride Memorial Library, building awareness and building bridges and building connections.
Special thanks to Amanda Warner of the McBride Memorial Library in Berwick. Hear more of this story on our podcast, wvia.org/community. For Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the weekend? Find more stories, as always, at wvia.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for listening this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss a beat. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.